This week on the Boag World Web Show, we're joined by Donovan Hutchinson to talk about marketing and building your personal brand. Season 12 of the Boag World Show is brought to you by Lynda.com, Template Monster, and the letter B. Boagworld.com, the podcast for all those involved in designing, developing and running websites on a daily basis. My name is Paul Boag. Joining me this week is Marcus, as always, and Donovan Hutchinson. Hello, sir.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's really nice to have you on. Now, Marcus, you haven't met Donovan.
No, I don't know who you are or what you do.
Oh, well, there you go. There's a brilliant opening for you, Donovan. Tell us how
Please
amazing you are.
I'm just this guy, you know.
We're supposed to be talking about marketing today, so you're supposed to be like, yeah, and here's my elevator pitch and exactly who I am and what I do. So we met a while back, didn't we, Donovan? Had a little chat for a while.
We did.
Because your background and experience, well, you're multi-talented, obviously, but in particular, you're doing a lot with CSS animation.
That's right. At the moment, I'm very into CSS animation and teaching what I know about CSS animation and building up a bit of a website around that as a theme. It's a side project I'm working on right now.
Very cool side project. So do you, I can't remember from the conversation we had previously, do you work for yourself or do you work for someone else? I can't remember what the setup was.
I'm employed. I work full time for a company called Kitman Labs.
Oh, okay.
And we provide software for avoiding injury in professional athletes.
Oh, well, that sounds dull.
I was thinking that sounds interesting, but there you go.
See, different perspectives, Marcus. It mentioned the word athletes and I began to doze off.
You don't fit in that bracket, do you, Paul?
No, I thought that doesn't apply to me. I tell you what it did make me think is that just reinforces what I've always believed, which is that exercise is bad for you. If there has to be a company dedicated to injuries for athletes, it just says that doing athletic things is bad for you.
I guess so, but I mean, if you look at how many people die just putting their trousers on, I think maybe we should set up a company for that as well.
Trouser Labs. That would be awesome. Yeah. That would be a company that I could get enthusiastic about.
Yeah, we've all got to put trousers on sometimes.
And yeah, and what you've said, one of the most common ways to die is on the toilet as well. See, again, see, British, bring it back to toilet humour. There we go.
I'm looking at Kitman Labs now, and I'm wondering whether you work in California or Ireland. I reckon I can guess. Yeah.
You could never guess from his accent, could you?
Well, actually, we're an Irish company. We started off here in Ireland, but we've been expanding into the US this year. So we're a bit of both.
Okay.
So, Donovan, tell us about your CSS animation stuff. Where can people follow you and learn about the cool things you're doing?
Well, this is a side project I'm very excited about. It's something I started this year. I've been blogging for a few years, but over the while of the few years, I've discovered various topics I really enjoy blogging about, and they mostly have come down to CSS and making cool things with CSS. So I set up a site this year to focus just on the animation side of it. And the URL for it is cssanimation.rocks. it's kind of fun. I go for the literal meme on that of actually having rocks on the site.
I like that. That's good logic.
Yeah, so that's a vehicle for me to blog and share what I think is interesting stuff about CSS animation. I practice how to teach it and write about it, and as well as improve my own skills in CSS.
Smiley rocks with googly eyes.
That's right.
You can't go wrong with googly eyes, can you, really? I said that to my wife last night. I said, when I die and you cremate me and they give you that jar, you know, normally you scatter ashes. I don't want that. I want them to draw a smiley face and put googly eyes on the jar and leave me on the mantelpiece.
Nice.
That's what I hope will be done with my remains.
These are the thoughts that fill your day, aren't they, Paul?
Seriously, I consider my own death quite a lot. Is that's kind of probably a cry for help, isn't it? Something.
It's very zen or something.
Either zen, dark, or something. Yes. Anyway, right, yes. So the reason that I wanted Donovan on the show, Marcus, was because me and Donovan did a consultancy clinic a while back, because he was asking some advice about, I mean, I don't know how much this I could share, Donovan. I'm just going to
go ahead and be completely,
you know, indiscreet. He wanted some advice about, you know, he had this idea of CS animation. He was thinking about doing a book and all of this kind of stuff. And so we were chatting about the idea of building a kind of brand, a personal brand, and marketing that, and all of those kinds of things. So I gave him a little bit of advice, and then he went away and basically, I think, ignored it all and did something far, far cooler. So that's why I wanted him on the show, because he's been doing this really interesting stuff. And when we get into talking about kind of the marketing, and he's been doing a lot around CSS animation, so that's the kind of logic.
Cool.
Absolutely. And, well, it was a great boost to me. I mean, you downplay it yourself, but it was actually a fantastic idea to get in touch with you just to start it off. It's helped me really focus the idea, and more than anything else, boil it down to be a smaller idea than what I've been thinking. I was going to write about CSS in general.
Yeah.
Boiling it down to animation was a good step.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we'll get into in the discussion part of it as well.
Sure.
But I thought it was quite important to get Donovan or someone like Donovan on the show, Marcus, because I know how terrible you are at marketing.
I'm a salesman, Paul. I'm not a marketer.
No, you're not, are you? When was the last time Headscape blogged?
Oh, that would be a couple of weeks ago.
That soon? I'm impressed. Wait,
two or three.
Yeah, four or five.
we were really good and blogged once a week for about 2 months, maybe even 3 months, and then we got lots of work in.
Yeah, and this is exactly the problem with marketing.
Yeah,
and you know, people don't understand how you've got to keep going, because otherwise you get through this kind of, get into this boom bust cycle, don't you? Of like, oh, we're really busy, so I'm not going to do any marketing, which means that we don't get work through the door because we're not marketing, and then we've got nothing to do, so we do loads of marketing.
It's not a conscious decision not to do it, though. I'm constantly thinking, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. We've had two major launches of websites that still aren't case studies. And it's like, ah! I know that's maybe not, well, it is marketing, but you know, that's a kind of, you know, obvious sales thing to do, but it's just we've been too busy.
Don't give me that, because look at Donovan. Donovan is going to be my golden boy for this show, right?
Yeah, right.
He does this.
We can talk about busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely talk about being busy.
He's got a full-time job and does this as well.
And two kids.
And two kids. Wow.
And two kids.
Wow. Little ones?
Oh, they're small. Yeah, 4 and 2. Oh,
yeah, hard work then.
Yeah.
So, Marcus, now what is your excuse?
I have no excuse.
Go on, I like this, Donovan. Keep going on about how busy you are. It's good.
Yep. All right. I am innately lazy, and it's all this hard work is taking its toll. And I'm old. Oh. I'm about to be a granddad. So there.
But, you know, actually, in fairness, I'm innately lazy too, and I think the easiest thing to do is to cast this kind of stuff as hard work, and then it becomes one of those things you just don't want to do, and it becomes a hassle, and then it doesn't happen, then you feel guilty, and then it's a cycle there as well.
Yeah, it's a state
break
of mind.
Cycle.
You just got to decide it's fun, Marcus. That's what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
I love marketing.
It's the best.
but actually, to be honest, writing blog posts, things like that, they probably are one of the most enjoyable aspects of my job. But it's when you've been, I'm not going to keep saying, you know, like making references to hard work, but it's kind of like, I like to kind of sit down and think, right, what am I going to write about? Spend a bit of time over it, blah, 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 rather than, right, you've got an hour, work on it. It's, I can compare it to kind of maybe doing music type things. I don't want to sort of like, right, you've got 9:30 till 10:30 to do some music stuff. It doesn't work like that. You've got to kind of like feel like it, I think. This is more excuses, I admit it, but that's where my head is, that I don't see it as something that I can kind of, like writing a proposal or something, that's work, that's kind of what, right, I'm going to sit down and write this proposal, whereas I guess writing a blog, I want to enjoy it a bit more, so I see it as a different thing, whereas I shouldn't.
You sound like, well, a prima donna. Oh, I can only write when the muse takes me.
I think music's a good idea, though, because there's two different ways to do music. You can practice once in a while when the mood takes you,
mm-hmm.
or like a professional musician would, is to practice every day and to build up the muscle and to get better at it so that when the need comes along, you're primed and you're ready to do it. When it comes to that,
I like Donovan. Well, keep going, yeah. Donovan. No, that's good. I think that's a really, really good point. Marcus, don't you think that's a really good point?
I used to practice every day. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I got out of the habit recently as well, actually. I had a great couple of months there. I subscribed to 750 Words, the website, and I would get up each morning and write 750 random words until I got it flowing and got some content out.
Did you really? But I haven't heard of this site. What's this site, 750 Words?
It's amazing. An amazing business model, if nothing else. It's a site that lets you type 750 words or more, and encourages you to do that every day by giving you a score, every day you get an extra point. And you pay them for the service of giving you a text box to put stuff in, which they don't keep. It's just gone.
That is superb. They're geniuses.
Yeah, I love it.
Wow. But actually, I can totally understand what you're saying, because that goes back to the kind of, you know, if you do it all the time, you get better at it. It becomes easier. It becomes more intuitive. Yeah.
And maybe you see results as well. If you start seeing an effect of that, maybe increased numbers of viewers or some sort of increased number of sales or conversions, that could be encouraging too, and to keep it up.
Now, actually, to be fair, I've now got the site in front of them. It gives you some really good stats as you're doing it about how well you've done on it and how you feel about it and, you know, what your mindset was and that kind of stuff. So it is a bit more than giving you a text box.
Well, that's all I used it for, really. I just put random stuff in there, and a few blog posts came out along the way.
See, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's cool.
So when do you... Sorry. Do you know what? Let's hang on a minute, because we've leapt straight into the subject.
Yeah, sorry.
We're supposed to be talking about things like the weather. No, don't apologise. Oh, I'm so sorry that I've come on this show and talked about what I'm supposed to be talking about.
I get a bit excited about marketing, I guess.
That's good. But we're supposed to be talking about things like the British weather and Waffley, because that's what we do at the beginning of the show. But I'm going to skip that and go straight to the sponsors instead, as we've already spent 10 minutes before we've actually started the show. So, talking about marketing. You know, you've got, as we're talking about marketing, it makes sense that we talk about our sponsors. And the first sponsor I want to talk about is Template Monster. Template Monster are a community that provide a lot of the questions that we're going to cover in this show. But if you don't know, Template Monster also have got a huge range of design templates that you can use on those projects where your design time is limited and you want to get up and running very, very quickly. They've got the largest template gallery on the web, and there's opportunities to try before you buy, so you can see how easy it is to integrate their templates and get up and running and customize them and all that kinds of stuff. And they have 24/7 support helping you to get that up and running, which is really great. They've got some amazing prices. I think they're incredibly good value for what it is that they're providing you. But there's also certain times in the year where they're even cheaper because they've got various sales and things going on. So keep an eye out for those. And it's worth signing up for their newsletter to be the first to kind of notified of that kind of stuff. And they also throw in things like free licensed stock photography, which I think makes them sound even cheaper and even better, in my opinion. So check them out at boagworld.com/template monster. So that's them. Thank you very much, guys, for supporting the show, and in particular helping to pay for the transcriptions that enable us to reach as big an audience as possible, which is always good because that enables us to market the show even more. Back on topic again. Did you see how well I did that?
You're a pro, Paul.
It's amazing.
I am just incredible. So anyway, what were we talking about? I've completely forgotten. Oh, practicing and doing stuff every day. And that idea of blogging. So how much do you blog, Donovan? Because, I mean, obviously that's a kind of key component in building your reputation and that kind of thing.
Yes, it's basically the main driver for the traffic on the site is regular blog posts. I had a great run earlier in the year, and it was interrupted because I switched gears for a while. But for the first couple of months, I would write once every week.
Yep.
And spend the best part of the week kind of planning what the next post would be, and then prepare it over the weekend and have it live on the Monday or Tuesday. And I found that by doing that, it was definitely a cumulative effect. The first post might get a spike of traffic, and then it would die back down again to next to nothing. And then the second would spike, but then build on the first one. And over a couple of months, it definitely built up kind of a baseline of traffic that kept coming back every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see that as the longer-term approach to build up a more solid base for the traffic on a site.
So are we talking about the posts on the CSS animation site, or do you write stuff elsewhere as well?
I write sometimes on a site called hop.ie. It's my personal blog. Mm-hmm. Actually started originally writing about CSS there, but I've since moved on to more specific sites. Recently, I've been sharing a bit more about what I've learned about this kind of stuff, how I'm trying to build an audience, and how I went from having a blog that was just a blog to having a blog that was actually a paid product. There's a lot, I think, in there in terms of learning how this stuff works, and I like to share it as I learn.
That is, I think, such a good part. Another benefit of blogging, beyond the kind of marketing aspects of it, is that, you know, if you're blogging about stuff that you're learning as you're learning it, it kind of helps kind of formulate it in a stronger way in your mind, doesn't it? You know, bring those thoughts into focus.
Absolutely. And not just blogging. An example, a couple of years ago, somebody volunteered on my behalf to give a talk at a local meetup.
That's nice of them.
It's my boss at the time, actually. Thanks. But I had 3 weeks to prepare for the talk, and it was about Angular. It's a front-end framework.
Yeah.
I kind of knew about Angular a bit before that. I'd read about it, but I never really used it. So I spent a couple of weeks actually using it and made sure that I understood it enough to answer questions when it came to the presentation.
Yeah.
That's one way. That's one way to definitely make yourself learn something.
Absolutely. But it sounds like you put... I mean, I'm looking through some of the articles that you've got on CSS animation. I mean, it looks like you put a lot of work into these. It must take you forever to produce them, doesn't it?
Sometimes they're quicker than others. The actual demos usually take the most of the time.
Yeah, I bet.
In planning out the work and the... having said that, they're usually the most fun part is experimenting with the CSS and making something move and building it. But then writing it, I've been practicing it for a while now. The sequence involved in setting out how to introduce the topic, how to then set some goals for what I'm going to try to teach in the post, and then break it down into steps. And that's usually not too bad. I can get through that in a couple of hours in terms of writing it up.
Really? Oh, that's good. Because at the moment I'm looking at your WWDC 2015 CSS logo animation thing, and I'm having trouble looking away from the screen because it's kind of hypnotized me.
It's very hypnotic.
It is. It's right. Ooh. And that's all done just with this. Now we're talking about CSS animation, but who cares? All done with CSS animation.
100% CSS there. There's no images, no SVGs or anything.
Wow.
Apart from the Apple part, the Apple logo.
Well, yeah.
I cheated on that.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Ooh.
Yeah. I like the clock as well.
Makes for good listening.
I haven't looked at the clock one. Let me have a look. So now we're just... Well, this is totally off topic, isn't it? Oh, I see. Oh, crikey. Whoa. That is wonderful.
And one thing I like about this stuff is that a while back, we used to do this stuff in Flash. We used to put together stuff in Flash or whatever particular animation tools. And it was always an extra layer on top of the web. It was an extra thing to download, and it was slow, or you really had to use animated GIFs or GIFs. And the file size then was generally pretty big, but we can do this with CSS now, and it's so much faster. As soon as you load the page, there's maybe 10 kilobytes of extra CSS for a lot of complex animation.
Yeah, I mean, and what I like it, I mean, you've got the demos for each of these here, where you click on the demo button and you get it full screen. But actually, the headers on each of the pages are really impressive too, you know, because they're kind of, it enables you to see the kind of how these things could be fitted in within context and that kind of stuff. I mean, the activity wheel that comes up when you it's nice, like it.
Thank you.
Anyway, that's not what we're supposed to do.
If anyone's listening and wonders what's going on, we go across to cssanimation.rocks for going through the posts.
Yeah, you've got to see this, actually, because it doesn't work well on an audio podcast.
Imagine, yeah.
Which is why we're not talking about CS Animation. We're talking about marketing. I need to stop clicking into these posts. It's completely distracting me. Right. One of the things that we talked about, right, because you were, when we had a phone call, you were talking about building your personal brand, weren't you? And the idea of kind of building up your brand. And one of the pieces of advice I gave you was the importance of being specific and kind of focusing down on one particular thing and become known as the person, you know, for a particular area. And like you said, you were looking, you were doing a lot of CSS CSS stuff, and I encouraged you to focus it a little bit more. Was that a good guess on my part? Has it worked out for you?
Absolutely. It's really helped focus in terms of the kinds of posts I'm writing. The change between last year and this year was that I was writing a site, I created a site called LearnSome. The idea being it would be a place to learn some something, and it's learn some CSS or learn some web design, different topics. But that was a huge thing to take on in terms of structuring it, and even just choosing a topic was pretty tough because there's so much to choose from. Whereas with CSS animation, I can start with that as a premise and think, well, what's cool in CSS animation? It's a much more neat, targeted list of things to write about.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, we will get on to listener questions in a minute, but just to provide people with a bit of context. When I last talked to you, when we had that original conversation, you were talking about doing a book. Now, that's turned into something different, which is what you have been marketing. So do you want to tell people a little bit about what you've done instead?
Yeah, absolutely. I made a New Year's resolution this year, perhaps foolishly, to write a book on the subject of CSS animation. And I might get there yet, but I quickly discovered that it was a big step to go from zero to a complete book in one go. And even though I did know how to blog, I knew how to write about it, the blogs and books are so different. So I looked for something in between. And I think it was a year and a half ago, I went on a course, I took part in a course called Write On, by Relly Annett Baker.
Oh, yeah.
And this was a terrific month-long course where you sign up and then every day from the month you get an email. And the email talks about maybe how to choose a topic or set a tone or find out about your audience or how to structure writing in a way that you'll do it. And it guided you through the process of how to be a better writer. I thought it was a great idea. So I shamelessly ripped that off and decided to do something like it myself. But instead of writing, I focused on CSS animation as an introductory course. Mm-hmm. So for 4 weeks, one email each weekday, I cover topics from introducing the idea of animation and why you'd want to animate, and then get down into the details of what actual transitions are and how you'd combine them and use timing functions, and then bring in the fun stuff around animations and keyframes. And by the end, in the last week, we put them all together, make some practical examples. And then scattered throughout are loads of demos showing each step of the process and how these CSS rules actually work with each other. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to take on, and it's far too much for one blog post, but it's also maybe not enough for a book. Mm. So it fit quite well in terms of a 4-week lightweight course.
And I guess as well, I mean, there's a degree, it's very much about picking the right medium, isn't it? Because it, to some degree, I always think books that teach technical stuff like that aren't necessarily always the best approach, and that, you know, something where you can sit down in front of your computer and go through this stuff is almost more useful in a way, isn't it?
I do find it myself. I find it hard to really stick with a book sometimes if it's too technical. It's abstract from the web that I'm working on at the time. And it's definitely an advantage of having email in that I could put animated images into the posts. I could link out to live demos and say, go to this URL and see it actually happening in the browser.
Yeah.
It's quicker and easier to see the context.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that you settled on this product, okay, that I presume you'd created in advance. But, you know, it seems to, from what you've been telling me as we've chatted since, it seems to have taken off hugely. You know, it's people are willing to part with money for this. It's not a free thing that you've given away. So it's been quite a thing that you've achieved. What has made the big difference? Yeah, what do you think you've done from a marketing perspective that has made this happen?
In retrospect, I think taking the time to build up an audience through the blogging has been a good start. It's helped me improve the way I write, but also it has set people's expectations of me in terms of knowing that I can write this stuff and that it's quality. Mm. So I think sharing has been the biggest driver in terms of sharing what I know as I learn it. There was a big transition, really. I'd say it was a little bit of an experiment going into actually having a paid product. I always felt I wanted to, but taking that actual step was a bit of a big deal for me to actually do. And I didn't know what to expect. I had very low expectations in terms of sales. I thought if I could get 10 people to pay money to sign up and take part in this, it'll be fine. In the first week, 60 people paid to take part.
Cool.
And then by the end of the first month, I think it was 120 people taking part in the first course, which was way in excess of my expectations.
Yeah.
And a fantastic start.
I guess what I'm... It things like I look through... I'm looking down at your product site now, and I'm seeing, you know, you've got some great testimonials from people like Andy Clark, who was on the show a few weeks ago. You've got people like Ian Yates, the guy behind Tuts Plus, and various other big names. Were these people you'd already built relationships with, or how did
yes.
you... Right, ah, okay.
That's part of just getting involved in the community and doing more than maybe than just blogging. I wrote some articles for Tuts Plus. That's
right.
How I know Ian, through that. Over the past couple of years, I've written articles for Smashing Magazine mm-hmm. and a few different places. And by doing that, connected with lots of people, there's been fantastic response from that in terms of people's willingness to reach out and help and actually give the course a nudge as well when I started it.
Mm.
I've spoken to Andy at a few conferences and taken part of his workshops as well. That's all part of marketing, I think, really, is reaching out and getting to know people.
Yes, absolutely. And not expecting people just to turn up at your blog the whole time, but kind of go where people are as well, which I think is a really big part of it. So,
absolutely.
So anyway, let's do some of the listener questions, because we've spent way too long. I'm just really interested because you're doing something a bit different than I am. You know, I don't sell a product like that. I'm selling my consultancy services. That's why I'm kind of interested in the marketing behind it. Right. Okay. So here's question number one. I've always relied on word of mouth to win work, but I feel I should be more proactive. Where should I begin? That's a really good one. I like that one because... Mm. Marcus, do you feel you should be more proactive?
That's a loaded question. yes, I do, Paul.
Good answer.
I think it's certainly something, if you've been doing something for a long time like I have, and you've been working with many different people over the years, even people who you may not have worked with for a long time are worth keeping in touch with every now and then. Now, that could be you have a newsletter, Paul, but I just phone people up every now and then or fire them an email and say, we've just finished a project that was, you might be interested in what we've done on this. And sometimes, as I say, it is marketing. That's more. It's kind of more of a sales lit thing. But then I think this question is more sales related than a marketing type thing. So, keep in contact with people to let them know what you're up to, I think is certainly more proactive than just waiting for people to knock on your door. Definitely.
I actually think it is what you're describing is marketing. It's almost like two types of marketing in a way. There's the kind of, and Donovan's experience strikes me as being like this as well, that there's the kind of mass marketing in the sense of I've written blog posts, I do podcasts, I, you know, tweet or whatever, where I'm talking to large numbers of people at the same time. But then there's that, these days, it's so important, that kind of networking and relationship marketing. Mm. you know, which is like goes back to what Donovan was saying about, you know, already knowing Andy Clark and Ian Yates and a few people like that who are willing to kind of stick their neck out to help him, you know, when it, he needed it kind of thing. And you talking about kind of reaching out to people and keeping in contact and those relationships. I think relationship marketing is quite an important area at the moment.
I would imagine they both feed into each other as well. Mm. I mean, if you're writing and sharing what you know as you learn it, then that is a way to then get to meet people and connect with them. And they would have heard about you through maybe some work and then they'd tell friends. So the word of mouth thing could even follow from that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you another question that I quite like. Because for me, you know, things like committing to blog regularly, you know, nurturing your network of people, keeping in touch with them, saying hello to them, things like being committed to social media and contributing to that, not just once or twice every couple of days, but literally, you know, multiple times a day. Well, we were talking about this earlier, Marcus, weren't we, with one of our clients that thinks they're doing quite well on social media. But my definition of well and theirs are a world apart, you know. So, you know, doing those kinds of things is incredibly important. And these days, I think good marketing is built around relationships and it's built around, as you said, Donovan, earlier, sharing. You know, sharing what you know. But then there's a kind of flip side to that, which is our second question, which is, are there any marketing channels and approaches that we should avoid? What have you, did you try anything, Donovan, that didn't work?
I've tried lots of things that haven't worked. I think my main mistake usually is what involves putting money down for something but not really understanding how it's going to be used in terms of marketing. This could be as simple as maybe setting up some Google ads.
Yeah.
If it's not done right, it just could burn the money very quickly in a handful of clicks. It could work. It's not necessarily a channel to avoid, but at the same time, to understand the way the marketing is being done then would be maybe a better approach than just avoiding things outright.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it's to do with finding the audience. If you're going to put time into money into something that's not going to align with where your audience is, then I'd avoid that. So like, I wouldn't sponsor the Super Bowl for CSS animation.
Good choice.
I'd probably reach loads of people, but it would be very, very poor return on investment.
Sorry, go on, Marcus.
I was going to say, I think that if you think whatever it is that you're going to spend money on or potentially put some effort into is that's put effort into, I shouldn't have said, because but basically if it seems too easy, then chances are it isn't going to work. that's what it's down to, really, isn't it? I mean, using pay-per-click advertising, you know, we'll pay-per-click web advertising on the term web design. That's easy. Boom, done. We'll get loads of work. Now, of course, you're not going to get loads of work off that. You're just going to spend loads of money. So if you're willing to put the effort in and do it properly, then probably most forms of advertising or marketing channels will work for you. But if you just expect it to be easy, then they won't work.
I think it's about targeting, isn't it? You know, it's about targeting specifically enough. And that's why the Super Bowl, you know, for in Donovan's case, if he advertised on the Super Bowl, you know, a tiny fraction of a percentage of the people that watch Super Bowl might actually be interested in CSS animation. But the vast, huge majority are not. So that's not an appropriate approach for him. Even with things like, even when what you were saying about pay-per-click advertising, if you're too broad, if you're not specific enough in your targeting, as when we did it in the early days of pay-per-click, we gave it a go, you know, when it wasn't horrendously expensive like it is now. But, you know, we were getting leads through, sure, but they were too small for us. We didn't target correctly.
Yeah, basically. We also paid money for print advertising and sent out DMs and all sorts of things. Complete waste of money.
Yeah.
But there you go. That's because I think, you know, people who, I think it was Marketing Week or something like that, or Design...
Oh, yes, New Media Age, it was.
Yeah, people reading that weren't interested in our services. They might be now, but not 12 years ago, or whenever we decided to spend loads of money on it. But yeah, I think that's just an example of we thought, well, let's spend some money here and we'll get loads of work from it. And then you realise that actually, yeah, we didn't really think about it. Therefore, magic doesn't happen.
Also, I'm just not a fan of shouty marketing, for want of a better word. I'm sure there's a proper marketing term for this, and it's not shouty marketing. But, you know, where you just kind of broadcast your message at people, which is very traditional broadcast marketing, isn't it? That doesn't, for me, doesn't, and the kind of services that we offer and the kind of things that we do just doesn't work particularly well. You know, you've got to build a rapport with people. You've got to build some form of relationship. And for me, that's giving away stuff. It's giving them, it's, you know, putting their needs first and what they're interested in. And then know that if I keep doing that for long enough, eventually they're going to come back to me and pay me for something.
It's the longer approach, taking time to build up that image and then be known for it.
Yeah. And that's, and the trouble is that it's going back to Marcus's point about, you know, time, that quick wins, that isn't a quick win, is it? I mean, it can take years to do that.
Yeah. I mean, we made the decision 10 years ago that you should spend the majority of your time doing this sort of work, Paul, to help market our company. Yeah, basically, you at that point, you were probably working, I don't know, I'm making this up, 4 days a week on design-type work. And then you went probably and flipped it the other way to kind of 1 day a week doing that and four days doing marketing.
So, and then I left.
Then you left.
After you'd invested all that in me.
Yeah.
What a bastard.
You said it.
So
is it your job, Marcus, to do all the writing now? Are you doing all the marketing stuff?
I made it everyone in the company's job, which kind of worked for a while. It's because I feel I have to lead from the front, that I can't sort of, you know, bang the drum too hard. Why haven't you done this when I haven't done it? So it's slipped a bit at the moment. But, as I said earlier, and I got, you know, I was dug into somewhat over it, but we have gone from having quite a lot of time in our hands to having no time on our hands. So I'm not, and this isn't an excuse, but that's why it's kind of fallen off a bit lately. But it hasn't gone from our minds. So yeah, I'm aware that we need to get back on that wagon.
And it is hard. I mean, I teased you earlier, but it is really hard to make that happen when you get busier. And, you know, I remember when I first started doing things like the podcast and blogging, I just did it in the evening like Donovan does. And you can't always do that. You don't always have the energy to do that. You know, and then you kind of, what was great about my time at Headscape is that was primarily my job. That was what I was doing. And other stuff kind of fitted in around that. Which kind of made it easier to ring fence it. And I often think this is, you know, true. How many times have I said to clients how important it is, you know, commercial clients, clients like the ones Headscape works with, you know, I've said how important it is to have dedicated people to digital and dedicated people to you know, those kinds of areas. Well, as a digital company, we need dedicated marketing time. You know, and a lot of the people that I speak to, other agencies or individuals, you know, I'm telling them, set aside a little bit of time every week where you do not book other stuff in. You know, a Friday afternoon is, I always think, a good one. But it's hard to stick to that.
I record a podcast on Friday afternoons.
So in some senses, you do marketing.
Yes,
I
do.
You do it every week. Yeah. This is your marketing.
But I could do more.
Would you like to say how great Headscape is at this point?
I don't need to. Everyone knows. Oh, no, I do, don't I? That's marketing.
Yeah, see, you're not. You haven't gotten... No, you're marketing. You're marketing by giving away valuable information. See, exactly what I was saying earlier. You provide value to your customers and they'll come back to you.
Yes.
I sound like I know what I'm talking about. Right, okay. Oh, well, look, we've just answered the next one, although it's not actually a question. I don't really have time for marketing. I'm too busy doing client work. Marcus, did you send a question in?
No, I didn't, actually.
That's really fun, isn't it? But it goes back to that boom-bust cycle for me, this. And that's what keeps me marketing because, you know, I'm really quite excited at the moment. And, you know, that... I've been in business for how long? How many months? When did I start? February, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So February, March, April, May, June. So 5 months. And it's just kind of, work's just appeared, right? And I'm now booked up to, you know, through September. And you could get really, you could go, oh, well, great. You know, that's wonderful. I don't need to worry about marketing. But I've learnt over the years that you cannot let up on the marketing, because as soon as you do, then you begin to go through a dry patch, you know, and you, not as much stuff comes in, the leads dry up, et cetera, et cetera. And then you go through this frenzy of marketing again and win a load of work and get really busy. And then you take the foot off again. And so things slow down. You go through this boom bust, which is painful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Donovan, here's a question. You might now completely contradict me. Has that been your experience? Because you said to me that you've taken the foot off a little bit with the blogging because you've been doing other stuff. Have you noticed a consequence of that?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Oh, phew.
I can't contradict you on that one. If you look at the spikes along the way of the traffic and the way it's built up, I took time to make sure the course went through smoothly the first time. And during that month, I didn't have much time for blogging. And that was basically a full month. I maybe published one post in that time. And it's actually, I don't think I'm quite back into the rhythm yet, even now, a few months later. It's just that 1 month off, essentially, from blogging has been really hard to recover from. It's almost like exercise in a way. Like if you're running a couple of times a week, I try to get out and run once in a while. If I'm sick for a few weeks, just getting back into it takes so much longer. So it's worth doing a bit regularly and keeping that momentum up all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you mean, you don't know that?
I did. I did. I went to the gym 3 days a week for at least 2 years.
I could compare it to drinking.
That's better. I can associate with that. Go for it, Marcus. You know, give me your drinking analogy.
If you're regularly drinking, then you can take your alcohol. But if, using the sick analogy, if you're sick for a couple of weeks and you don't drink at all, then you can't drink as well.
So you're basically encouraging people to drink regularly.
Drink
and commit
regularly.
To their drinking.
Apparently.
It's a good marketing strategy.
So this next question is a good one for you, Donovan, right? Because it says, I can't spend much time marketing, and that must be true for you. You've got two young kids. You've got a full-time job. What then should people focus on?
Well, I think the way you think about marketing in general, but also in my case, blogging or whatever your choice of poison happens to be, looking at it as something you can't not do helps a lot in terms of actually making yourself want to find time to do it. For example, it's not a burden to me to think, oh, I need to write a blog post for CSS Animation. In fact, I really want to do it. It's something that I enjoy, and I know I'll be very satisfied with the results of doing it. The challenge then just becomes finding the time, and it's not the challenge of both finding the time and making myself do the blog post. But taking one of those things out of the equation, I then carve out time when I can. So just as an example for myself, I commute to work. So in the mornings, I'm on a bus for the best part of an hour, and it has Wi-Fi. Most days on the bus, I open a laptop, and other days I listen to Bogue World, but when I'm not listening to Bogue World, I do stuff on the computer on the way in.
I like the way you drop that in. That's good. Thank you.
He's done it once.
And then in an evening time, I would often sit back. Once the kids are in bed, I'd sit back and watch an episode of Netflix or something, and that's another hour in which I could have the laptop there and not necessarily always make myself do work like it's a burden, but just have it available. So if I'm inspired to write something, I can use that time. And there have been weeks where I've done something every day, like every evening, and maybe most mornings. And then sometimes you take a break and maybe just do one every couple of days so don't get burned out, but at least keep some momentum up and always chip away at it a little bit at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it's interesting, this isn't a user question, but something that's just popped into my head. You talked about how your primary marketing method is your blogging. But there's almost a need to market your blogs as well, if that makes sense. You know, if you can write, but if no one reads them, is it really there? No, sorry. How do you go about promoting your blog posts?
I have a few tricks I've kind of evolved over the years that have just stumbled across, really. The first, which I find incredibly effective, is to get to know a few people that run newsletters.
Ah!
And particularly newsletters that are appropriate to your niche.
Can you give me that list, please?
No problem.
Don't say it on the podcast, because I don't want other people kind of stealing it, but, you know, just email them to me.
But it depends now on what you do. Like, if you have a blog about knitting, you're not really going to care for my list of newsletters. So finding ways that people also talk about it. Some people maybe blog a lot and share what other people are doing, so you maybe want to get in with them and could say, hey, I've written something, have a look at this. And same for newsletters. Each time I do a post, I would send out a few emails to people that are that I'm familiar with, but also I know that they like certain types of content, and I'll say, here's something you might like. Mm. Another way is to speak, get in front of people and actually say, this is me, this is what I do, and here's a topic I'm interested in. And that's the secondary effect, I guess, is that people then would want to know more and go back to your site.
Mm-hmm. What about things like, you said that you've written for Smashing Magazine and stuff like that. I mean, obviously, I write a lot for Smashing Magazine as well, but do you think that actually helps attract people to your own blog, or is it more just a reputation building thing?
I'd say that it tends toward the second, in my experience.
Yeah.
It doesn't send a huge amount of traffic directly through like a newsletter might, but it's definitely valuable, and I think it all adds up. Mm. Getting your name in front of people, whatever means, is always a good thing. And then, as well as the newsletters and writing for other people, you can, there are essentially blogs that like to blog about topics, things like Timpanis, their Co-Drops collective.
Mm-hmm.
It surprised me just how many people would actually land. I hadn't even used these services, and yet thousands upon thousands of people seem to find them brilliant. And then lastly, one big surprise that came around really in the past few weeks, more than anything else, was getting articles translated into different languages.
Really?
That's something I've been really surprised by. It. I wrote an article on the principles of animation for the web. It's based on Disney's Illusion of Life, but applied to some web concepts. And a very generous Japanese person decided to rewrite it in Japanese on his blog. And then I republished that back onto my own as a separate page. And through tweeting about it, I went on holiday and set up a bunch of buffer tweets to tweet about the 12 principles as a way just to keep the account working.
Yeah.
And a few very prominent Japanese bloggers picked up on it, mentioned it, and next thing I know, the entire Twitter stream is full of Japanese stuff. I have no idea what they're saying, whether it's good or bad, but it certainly got lots of people visiting.
Now, that's really interesting, because I have people contact me every now and again saying, can I translate your article? And I always say, yeah, go ahead, feel free to do it. But what I don't do is I don't ask them to come back to me and you know, republish that myself or mention it or anything like that. And perhaps I'm missing a trick there. That's good.
I think there's value in that. And what I try to do is give credit. So when someone does translate it, I'll set up a separate version linked from the main article.
Yeah.
And say we'll have a Polish version, a Japanese, Chinese, whatever has been submitted. And then on that translated version, say, this is the English version, translated thanks to, and then their name. So
of course, you've no actual idea whether they have really translated your article, because it could just be, you know, a load of obscenities. And actually, the reason it's gone viral is everybody's joking and laughing about how you were silly enough to publish it.
12 obscenities of web design.
Yeah.
Well, I run it through Google Translate, so at least I have some idea.
You're good. You check. Yeah. That's impressive. That's one of the things I like about the Tweetbot app, is because I was speaking in a conference in Brussels last week. I think it was last week. I don't know. It all blurs together. And of course, a load of people posted stuff in various foreign languages after it. And Tweetbot has got a translate feature in it, which is so useful, so you know what they're saying. But anyway, that's a tangent. That's
brilliant. I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. You just... oh, no, that's not Tweetbot. Oh, one of mine. the next question. Yeah, we've kind of done the next question. How do you stand out from the crowd when there are so many web designers out there? And And that comes back to what you've done so well, which is find your niche, find the thing that you are going to be known for.
Yeah, I think also a huge number of designers are great at their work, but not so great at sharing the process by which they get to the end result.
Yeah.
I imagine if you just actually blog or talk about that in some way, you'd stand out in the top few percent of the designers straight away just for sharing that information.
That's a really good point, actually, because it amazes me, which brings us on to the final question that I wanted to talk about, which is, I know I should market myself, but I'm worried about looking like an idiot or getting criticized. How do I get over that? And it's so true, isn't it? So many people that are afraid to step out there and say stuff. You know, they either think, oh, well, someone else has already said it. Yeah, but someone else has said everything on the internet. You know, you can't have an original thought. You know, it's like I recently wrote a post for Smashing Magazine, and I was really pleased with it. It took me a long time. I put a lot of thought into it. And one of the comments said, this is pretty much straight out of this book. And it was like, oh, crying out loud. Now they think I've just plagiarized a book, you know.
So, I know what you mean.
You kind of got to let that go, haven't you, to some degree?
Well, as designers, we're all... Oh, sorry.
No, carry on.
Cut across you there. As designers, we're all about empathy in terms of our approaching our work. So we're kind of vulnerable to really feeling this when it happens in terms of people maybe being a bit harsh with their comments. And I think we can use that empathy also the other way to understand that not everyone knows what's in our heads, or they don't know our intent when we wrote something. And maybe they've had a bad day themselves or just misinterpreted what was being written. And most times when I've had someone write something that's not great about what I've done, it's usually because they either just they've skimmed it, they've maybe read the heading, headline. And they're very rare that I've actually run across someone who really meant to be nasty.
Yeah, I mean, once somebody called me the C word about something that I'd written, and I went back to him and challenged him over it very gently. I didn't have a go back. I just said, well, that's a bit harsh. And he immediately apologized and said, look, I've just had a really bad day and I vented at you. And so oftentimes what we take as, you know, a really personal attack really doesn't have a lot to do with you, really. Marcus, you were going to say something.
I was going to say, I mean, I've been joking for many years about the fact that we constantly repeat ourselves on this show. And we do. But that's because our audience changes. And there's nothing wrong with repeating, obviously not totally repeating, but kind of revisiting certain aspects of the work we do. Because, you know, that A, it's changed in the last 5 years, 10 years, and B, different people are listening to you or reading you. So,
and also there's an element whereby, okay, somebody might have, you know, Donovan might have written an article on CSS animation, okay, and then I come in and write a similar article, but the way that I write it, you know, I've got a different style of explaining stuff than Donovan has. And not everyone's going to like Donovan's style, and not everyone's going to like mine, but we've got our own different audiences. And also, you're likely to pitch it at different levels after, because another big thing people worry about is, oh, well, you know, I don't have as much experience as Donovan in CSS animation. But the truth is, sometimes that experience can come back and bite you, that you presume or know too much. And so somebody starting out, you might do it over their heads, while you, who are not as experienced, might pitch it at a better level for those people. So you really can't let other people hold you back, although obviously Donovan's articles are perfect.
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
But it's like music, maybe. If we're only allowed to sing every song once, then there wouldn't be no more songs left to sing at this point.
Yeah.
People have their own voice, their own ideas, their own ways of approaching things, and there's plenty of space to share and to join in.
Absolutely. Actually, it's a really good analogy because, you know, you get some covers of your songs that feel almost like a completely different song.
Yeah.
Because one day somebody's going to cover Hands to Heaven, aren't they, Marcus? And then you're going to sit back in a big pile of cash and retire.
Many people have covered it, Paul.
All right, but not me, not enough.
Not very good versions. Or I shouldn't say that. Fantastic versions, but not as good as the original.
You want Simon Cowell says he's going to use it at some point, don't you?
He has. Well,
is he?
Yeah, the guy that won, I don't know. Well, it wasn't X Factor. It was kind of this young opera singer who was on one of Cal's programs that I never watch. He didn't win it. He came second or something like that. Anyway, he released it.
Oh, right.
A couple of years ago.
I didn't know that. Oh. So you kept that secret. So you are sitting on your big pile
huge
of cash now.
Huge pile of cash. I'm going out on the yacht this evening.
I'm so envious of you. And your rock and roll lifestyle. Hey, look, we've run out of time. Let's do our other sponsor, because I want to mention lynda.com as well, because they're a great bunch that have been wonderful in supporting the show, and I really appreciate it. Supporting the whole season, that's commitment. You know, I mean, I wonder whether they'd listen to it, to be honest, because to commit that much to our show, I think, is insane, but good for them. They've got over 3,000 on-demand video courses on business, creativity, and technical skill. You know what I've got to do now? Lynda.com. Let's have a look. This is going to be interesting.
CSS animation.
That's what I'm typing in. CSS animation. Yeah, they've got courses on CSS animation. I mean, obviously, they're not as good as Donovan's courses, he said quickly.
I'm sure they're brilliant.
That looks good, actually.
Lynda's a good service. I do like it.
Yeah. So there you go. You can go and learn more about CSS animation there. I'll tell you the other thing. You can go and learn loads about marketing as well. They've got marketing courses, thousands of streaming video courses on demand where you can learn at your own schedule. They've got courses on marketing fundamentals, email marketing, social media, blogging, the whole works. You can go and check them out there. So it supports this week's show really well. You can learn at your own pace. Courses are structured so you can watch them from start to finish, or you can consume them in bite-sized chunks. They have like this little kind of table of content beside each course where you can watch, you know, watch any particular part of the course. And many of those little bits are for free as well, so you can try it out and see what you think of it. So definitely check that out. I absolutely love them as a service. You can get all of this unlimited for a flat fee. They've also got a 10-day free trial that you can use to get yourself up and running and just to see whether you like what you're seeing there. And you can get that by going to lynda.com/boagworld. Marcus, are you going to end with a fabulous joke?
This is a joke from somebody called Paul Winter, who I don't think has sent me a joke before.
No,
so
I don't,
thank you,
don't
Paul
recognize.
Winter. He loves.
Have we got a new listener?
Well, yeah, and he says he loves the pods. So there.
He must be a new listener. He can't listen to many of them if he still loves them.
Anyway, I quite like this. A restaurant owner hears an intruder in his kitchen and ends up throwing salt and pepper into the intruder's eyes. The intruder runs away. Police are looking for a seasoned criminal.
Oh. See, now Donovan has got exactly the right... That was just a perfectly pitched... Oh. In fact, Marcus, can you edit that out for me so I can just play it back every episode when you tell a joke?
I could.
That's the most perfect reaction to one of your jokes.
I hear it a lot.
Yeah, I guess you listen to the podcast, so therefore you've made that noise many a time.
Well, as a dad, I hear it from my kids and everyone else. So I'm used to being on the other side of it.
Have you kind of descended into dad joke territory, have you?
Absolutely, yeah. I devote myself to it.
Just wait until they're a little bit older as well, and they get past that, daddy is, you know, perfect and a hero, yeah. And I want to grow up to be like daddy.
Then they'll be properly embarrassed.
Exactly. My son is about to turn into a teenager, and I see so much potential in my future just to humiliate him in every way possible. Lucky child. Anyway, Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on this week. It's been great to have you.
Thank
really
you very
great
much.
Stuff.
My pleasure. Really enjoyed it.
This series could not get any better. I'm excited about the podcast again. It's really cool. So, because I've got someone else other than Marcus to talk to, which is always nice. So, thank you for joining us on this week's show, Donovan, and thank you for listening to this show, and even thank Marcus. I got to see you, didn't I, for the first time in months this morning.
In person, first time in person.
And it made me realise how much I miss you.
Aww.
I know, it really did as well. It's like I've got all cute. All right, thank you for listening, and talk to you again next week. Goodbye. Bye.
Bodycraft.com.